The Joe Rogan Experience.
Oh. Oh. Mics are hot as fuck. Kicking it live from the Rogan compound with my man Ari Shaffir. Ari motherfucking Shaffir is in the house, ladies and gentlemen. A-R-S-H-A-F-F-I-R. Follow him on Twitter. Joe Diaz, Mad Flavor, a.k.a. Planet Rock, a.k.a. Joey Karate. He's here as well. Brian Reichel, Brian Redban, R-E-D-B-A-N.
Who's singing this? Whose song is it?
What's going on now?
So what we're happened? Doing it. It's background music.
Did you make that song, Brian?
No, it's my laptop. Oh. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, yeah, combination between GarageBand and guitars.
Yeah, we haven't been playing music. We're trying to clean it up for satellite radio, which may or may not ever happen. Right. Hopefully it will. Looks like it's happening. Whatever, bitches. Much respect to the Fleshlight, our sponsor, before we even get started, before we get groovy with you bitches. If you go to JoeRogan.net, what's that, buddy?
There is in the corner.
Just that's one
looking
of them.
At you.
They're all over the place. There's one over here, too. This house is littered. And Mrs. Rogan comes in there the other day and looks at all of them. She goes, is there enough of these? This is what she looks at them. She goes, these? That's how she looks at them. Like, this is like her competition that she has to accept. Like little things that live in her house that I fuck.
This house is full of baby dolls and male dildos.
Yeah, what's up? Yeah, it's filled with child's toys and dick toys. Big fat box of dick toys. If you go to JoeRogan.net and click the link for the Fleshlight, you go to their website, type in the word Rogan, you get 15% off. So I'm looking out for you bitches, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get you some discounts on your masturbation. Holla at me, Joe Diaz.
Can't call it, you know what I'm saying? You got to do what you got to do. If you can save 10 points and whack off at the same time, who's better than you? You know what I'm saying? Fuck it.
We had a good goddamn time last weekend in Vegas. Holy shit, was that fun.
Yes, yeah. We did. Nice.
Woo! That was a good fucking time. These guys dropped acid. They were up in the they were up in the stands watching with big fucking smiles on their face. I don't know when I found out that they dropped acid. Did I find out at dinner?
I tweeted you during the UFC.
Where yeah, but that? I don't get tweets.
Texted me.
You texted me. Yeah. Yeah, so that's how I found out. Yeah, did I respond
like
to
last,
you?
Yeah, no, it was like the last half hour, right?
No, you looked. You looked.
No, that's
looked.
Turned up, I thought. Turned up and waved at us.
Oh, okay. Then I must have known.
You know, we're sitting in the draw. Ari came over one day, and we're talking about something. All of a sudden, I go, it's going to be great this weekend. And as I'm talking to him, I open up the draw, and I go, Ari, look. And there were 7 hits of acid. Ari, what if we drop the acid? And he's like, oh, I don't know. And I go, every time somebody, you know, gets hit, we'll feel it.
Yeah,
you know, that was the original fucking plan at first. So then we were like, well, what do you think about Redman? Well, we don't know. Maybe then we're saying, maybe we should fucking dose him.
Yeah, maybe we got to put on some popcorn.
We'll just take him for the ride. And then we said, nah, because I know it's hard. He'll have 911. Fuck it.
That's
he's my
rude.
Little brother.
Well, acid's a little different. You don't want to dose somebody with acid.
No,
I've made a decision
acid.
Just not to do it anymore in my life because I've gotten to a point where my brain, I just want to keep my brain a little bit together
now. A little bit together.
Let me tell you something about this stuff.
This stuff is very mild. That was kid stuff.
Yeah.
That was kid stuff. That was kiddie stuff.
Yeah, well, if you took 2 hits and you were still being able to sit there, then it had to be shitty.
Yeah, very mild. Very mild. It came in spurts and bursts. It was very nice.
Up, down, up, down.
The lights fucked with you. What's his name? Voice fucked with you from time to time.
Little buffer.
Buffer.
Yeah.
He really
vibrated you.
He vibrated you.
And that video before the UFC starts.
That was powerful.
There was a part where Ari looked over and goes, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
The best.
I was pissing in the bathroom.
The UFC video when it first starts, where it's like,
they said it to the Who, American Teenage Wasteland.
Bob O'Reilly singing the song, yeah.
And they set all the beats, like all the punches to the drum hits.
Yeah, you realize how brilliant something is sometimes when you're high. What is it about that? Why do you have to get high to realize that?
I don't know.
That seems silly.
When you're sitting there and you're straight. At a UFC and it starts, and when all starts a Zuffa and all that shit, you feel it. Yeah. When we did the acid, it was a different fucking level. We felt everything.
Isn't it funny how, like, you go to movies, and if you go to the movies and you're on acid or on pot or in anything, you could see bad acting?
Yeah.
You see easily. Right, like, that's why we watched Domino that night. That's why we sat there and watched Domino with fucking Mickey Rourke and Keira Knightley. And it was interesting.
Yeah.
It was interesting. It was from a different angle. You're watching acting.
So I'm sorry, I interrupted you. So what were you saying? You were saying you guys are there, you're on acid, and then the Bob O'Reilly starts playing, and which is, if you've never seen it, never been to a live UFC, it's really brilliant. Whoever edited it, it's like some of the highlights of some of the greatest fights ever, and it's all put together to the Who. It's fucking, it's one of the greatest videos humans have ever seen.
And it's a perfect volume to rip you apart.
Like fuck.
You can hear it, but it doesn't really bother you, and then
Dana and I
going with it.
Dana and I were watching that the other day, and I go, dude, I think I've seen this a fucking thousand times, and I still love it.
I never stopped watching it.
Love it.
It's great. They're live 10 minutes before the UFC actually starts. You have to be in your seat. You have to be
It's
in
so
the room.
Good, too. Like, whoever did it, you can tell that guy loves fights. Like, he nailed it. The perfect beats to the perfect fucking punches and kicks. And
it gets you pumped up, definitely,
it does.
Man.
Yeah. Dude, I'm telling you, it never wears out. I've seen it hundreds of times. I don't know how many times I've seen it. I've seen it. I mean, every UFC start, I've done at least 100 UFCs.
And you're there. You're not gone getting food when that's happening.
Yeah, because between spike nights and regular UFCs, I think I've done over 100. So been over 1,000 fights.
Well, here's the best. When you're there and you're tripping, and you, like I said, when you're there as a civilian, and all of a sudden it just goes from Bob O'Reilly, and it locks down. And all of a sudden you hear, and all of a sudden you just see a picture of Anderson Silva saying, when I go in that thing tonight, I'm going to knock his fucking mouth off. That's a...
Right.
Now,
yes.
Think about it on the acid. Now his head just came out. And I think it was Vito's head that came out first. And it was just a fucking head talking along the streets. I thought it was fucking Marlon Brando and Superman. Remember when he got...
Yes.
When he had the fucking heads around him? It was like, that's what the... You're going down to New York City, cocksucker. And then they were judging him and it was just heads. Well, that's the brilliance about it. That at one point in the UFC as a civilian, it just gets very dark. And also, it's just a perfect timing. Also, you see a head pop out and go, tonight, I'm going to take them, pound them, submission. You're like, you just go nuts. And they keep showing little tidbits, you know. Then they showed a Vitor. Then they went to John Jones. Then they went to Jake Ellensberg. It was just so well done.
Every
it's
time they show a new fighter, production. The crowd explodes again.
And when you watch another sporting event now, it's so below that par. I went to a Laker game last year against Wade Wade's team, Miami Heat. Yeah. It was a fucking great game. But there was a lot of lulls in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of lulls in it. At the UFC, even when Bruce Buffer says, do what you got to do. Go for 22 fucking minutes.
You have
a blast.
You go
get a hot dog, right? Yeah. We argue. Go get a fucking thing. Go now. Hurry up before the fucking game starts.
That's huge that they tell you.
Yeah,
you
got 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's
that.
Courtesy.
And what that is, folks, for the folks that don't know, sometimes we have a certain amount of prelim cards, but then the main card starts at, say, like, you know, 7 p.m. And if the main card starts at 7 p.m., we have to have, if the prelims are all done, sometimes we got 20 minutes before the fights are supposed to start. So we don't start fights early. We have to wait until pay-per-view starts.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get like 5 first-round knockouts in the early fights.
Yeah, and they're just like, ooh.
Yeah, and then we run out quick.
And it was weird because this particular UFC started off, I think, with Gabe Rudiger and whoever he fought.
Paul Taylor.
He got beat up fast. And then Kingsley came out against Romero and hit him with violent gladiator fucking knees to the body. And like fucking bam, you could feel the thrust.
Kyle Kingsbury's
and again,
a bad motherfucker.
As a civilian, you could feel the fucking kidney strikes.
Yeah.
I can't have the acid. I remember finding myself like this. And also I looked around and I adjust myself. What's going on? Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Plus, because you're watching Kingsbury, even when you're not high. That dude's a specimen.
Oh, my God.
Specimen shredded. He's got like a fucking solid 12-pack. He's got a 12-pack on his back. He's one of those dudes. Like, you look at his back, there's all these crazy striations in there.
He's
a super athlete.
Yeah. He was a linebacker at ASU and shit. Which
those fucking football players, man, they're on another level. Shredded. It's another level of athleticism. And Kingsbury smashed that dude. He's one of those guys, every time you see him, it's like he's been training for 3 years. You know, he makes these leaps in a couple of months. All those super athletes, man, the John Jones dudes, those guys, they make these giant leaps, you know. There's some dudes that just get so good so quick. You know, when you watch like John Jones, the first fight that he had, you know, or even the fight with Stephen Bonner, yeah, he looked promising. You know, yeah. But Bonner made it to the distance. You know, I mean, he beat Bonner up and everything like that, and did some wild
reverse
stuff.
Kicks, yeah.
But you know, people are like, wow, this kid's wild. He's unorthodox. But then you see him now, and you go, fuck, man, this kid is on another level. Dude, yeah. The way he handled Brandon Vera, and, you know, I mean, his last fight was just proved it. Brian Bader's a fucking stud, and he just manhandled that kid. He was on top of him. Every time there was an exchange, he was on top, controlling the position. He was never remotely threatened.
And squeezing.
That kid's a beast, man. Ryan Bader is a fucking gorilla. Dude, you just stand next to that guy. He's one of the biggest 205ers out there. And the fact that John Jones was able to handle him like that.
There was like a half second where there was like a scrum, like he tried to flip and didn't get him all the way over, and then John Jones got out of that, and it was done.
Yeah.
It was
done. And John Jones has two brothers, and both of them are fucking football player bad motherfuckers. Really? Yeah. He's like, his whole family's got like super genes, you know?
When I was standing there that night, he had two brothers that are bigger than him. I guess he has a baby brother, whatever. In the 1975 NBA playoffs, one of those years, Daryl Dawkins, remember Daryl Dawkins? He was 6'11". He used to smash the backboards.
Right.
You know, he was 6'11", 290.
I remember
and
that.
And he got into a brawl with Maurice Lucas, and all of a sudden they showed his family coming down from the stands, and he had two brothers and a sister bigger than him.
Oh, my God.
And they were from fucking Florida. You know, with those motherfuckers.
Oh, my God.
They were just throwing security in Portland. They're all nice white people up there in Portland. These four fucking people were just throwing them. Just throwing them, dog. Huge.
6'11".
11. Daryl Dawkins was smashing fiberglass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unheard of.
I remember.
You know what I'm saying?
He would hang on them, just crush them. They were glass, weren't they? They were breaking them.
Super reinforced.
Yeah.
That guy was fresh out of the jungles of fucking.
What did they do back then?
What?
When the glass breaks, do they stop the game?
Stop the game. They just roll it out and they roll another one.
They get another one.
Get the fuck out of here.
You get fined. Yeah.
He got fined? How much did he get fined?
I don't know, maybe $10,000 or something.
That's so worth it, though. That's how we know about
it. You're a highlight film.
Well, luckily, they don't all do that. That would be so douchey if they all did it. It's kind of a douchey
move. It's like there's a way you can do it by accident.
The game.
You can do it by accident. We just come at, like Shaq would just smash through it and he wouldn't be able to tell. But there's some you can really try to break it.
Does Shaq smack him occasionally?
Yeah, but not on purpose. He just fucking.
Brian, what's that crazy noise?
So hard down.
I'm looking into it.
Oh, okay.
He hasn't done it in a while, though. When he was first
he's
couple
so
years,
big,
he used to do
it. Dude, I met him a couple of times. When I first met him at the UFC, and I met him, he did an episode of Fear Factor with me, and he did the countdown, you know, like, say, 3, 2, 1, go, you know, standing next to me. Dude, it looked like, it didn't even look like, I mean, looked like we were two totally different things.
You met him in Boston. We ran into him at the hotel.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He's giant. He's so big, man. He's so big, it's ridiculous. I feel like a little child, you know?
Well, this dude, Daryl Dawkins, played for the Sixers, and he got traded to the Nets. And when he moved to New Jersey, he got hooked on fucking powder.
Did he really?
Really?
So the kid that would sell him the powder was the sneaker kid. He was the ball kid on the Nets at that time. And this kid ran a tremendous scam because the players on contract, they take after every game, they put on new sneakers and they throw them away.
Really?
This kid would take every sneaker and take it into the city and sell it.
Oh.
But one of his jobs as a ball boy was to get Daryl Dawkins powder.
That was it, Brian. Whatever you did.
And we all met. And I remember one night he took us to Daryl Dawkins' house. Daryl Dawkins showed me a fucking Rolls Royce with a 14 motherfucking carat dashboard. And shit.
No way.
What? A gold dashboard?
Bro, this dog was
financially irresponsible.
You have no fucking idea in those days.
Wow.
Then his wife died later on. And he came back before a couple of years there. I went over to his house like 3 times. He lived in Sea Caucus, New Jersey. Big pimping with the motherfucking 14-carat dashboard and shit.
Wow. That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous, Doug.
You gotta love it, though. What is it about black people and shiny things?
I don't
they
know.
They don't
it's
give
amazing.
A fuck, Doug. They'll live in a tent to have a fucking Rolls Royce with a 14. Their kids will starve.
As much as rock stars like to rock it and like to look badass, they don't go that deep. They don't go diamonds.
I heard a theory on that. It's that black people, rappers and stuff, they're just doing what they thought about was rich when they were little. So it's always them holding like a bowl of like sugar cereal. And cars Chris and hot Hall. Booty women. Yeah, but it's like, oh, no, this looks like rich stuff. Rasheed Wallace got a urinal installed in his house.
Nothing wrong with that. That's probably a good move, especially one of those splashless.
Splashless urinals.
Save
the cake
water.
In there.
Save water. They have like a little disc, a little UFO you piss on. Somehow or another, go somewhere. You don't have to
It just absorbs
water.
It.
Yeah, that's like the latest eco thing. But it's been rejected by plumbers. Plumbers don't like it because it cuts back on the maintenance, so they try to say it's unsanitary.
Oh, really?
But in actuality, the other ones are more unsanitary. How weird is that?
Yeah.
There's been studies, Joe Diaz, studies on piss.
Let's talk about urine.
Let me tell you something. When I was a kid, in the first house I moved into North Bergen, a nice big one, we had a fucking bidet.
Really?
Did you really?
Yeah, that's banging and wow. shit. When I was about 8 or 9 or 10, I used to go over there, take a shit in my mother's bathroom, and turn the bidet on and hit you in the fucking face. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then you put your little muffler on that bidet, you get that little hot water going. That was the first time I had that little crinky in your little muffler. But then you blast it hard. Ooh, your asshole spotless. You can feel it shiny. I was about 10. That's when my asshole used to shine. You know what I'm saying?
I use my bidet for carrying magazines.
You don't use it though? No. You never wash it?
You have one?
Yeah, I got one.
I would
one.
Use that shit every day. It's yeah, so much like better it. Than wetting toilet paper
oh,
and getting.
I know. Just
seems so bizarre.
I am so sick.
Seems
of
un-American. Seems
like
giving into the French. What am I doing here?
I think they
not
got
supporting
this one.
My own. What am I doing here? What a roll of goddamn toilet paper is not enough for you, Rogan?
No.
I feel like I'm not supporting my own.
No, I don't
bidet.
Mind using
some French
paper,
bullshit.
But the bidet is nice to wash your ass in the middle of the day.
Wash your ass.
It seems like a lot of a
too.
Commitment. When you wipe your butt, it's like, well, yeah, I know it's still stinky and gross, but
I don't mind wiping my butt.
It's not
then
that much of a
bidet
commitment.
To add some fucking soap in that motherfucker.
Well, I use baby wipes.
Have you ever been about
to
fuck?
My butt. What?
Have you ever been about to fuck and realized my ass?